Ryan Atkins, you're the greatest athlete of all time. And in the world of obstacle course race, a lot of the athletes do actually consider you as a GOAT, along with you, even Lindsay Webster. A lot of the pro athletes and even your fellow athletes consider you as the greatest of all time. So it's an absolute honor to have you on my podcast. So thank you so much, Ryan, for doing this session. Really, really appreciate this.
Cool. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Now, Ryan, am I right in saying that you have a degree in mechanical engineering? And after you did your university, you also tried to build some obstacles as well?
Yeah, so I went to school for mechanical engineering and worked as a design engineer for a few years after school. And then I worked for a company called Battle Frog. So we were, I was like race directing and helping build obstacles and stuff like that with them and with a company called Mud Hero as well. So,
okay. Yeah. And am I right in saying that you're a multiple-time world champion in unicycle trails and mountain unicycling as well?
Yeah.
And do you still do that often as well? Or?
Not often, but every now and again I get on it.
Now, Ryan, everyone who's done obstacle course race in Canada, US, UK, Europe, and even in the Middle East, everyone knows who you are. And as I said, you know, all of them consider you as the greatest of all time. But to our listeners, let's say, from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, can you tell us when was your first obstacle course race that you did?
First obstacle course race. I think it would have been maybe around 2012 or something like that. It was a race called the Badass Dash, and it was in just a local race. But you could win ATV at this race. So I signed up and I won the race and I won the ATV, and it's kind of, I guess, went from there.
And you have won multiple World's Toughest Mudder Championship, I believe 3 times, numerous Spartan World Championship, and you also participated in obstacle course race in the Middle East as well. But what about Tough Mudder Infinity in Alula? How is the preparation going on for that one?
The preparation is going really well. We used to, when Tough Mudder first came out with, I forget if it was called Infinity or not, but it was, they used to do the 8-hour Tough Mudders, but they would do them overnight. I did a bunch of those races. That would have been in like 2018, 2019, around then. And they had a whole series. I think they were called Toughest Mudder. And, so I've done a bunch of this, like a similar format to this event. This will be my first Tough Mudder Infinity, but I'm pretty excited. I like the lap format, really being able to like do the course over and over and over again and kind of learn it and perfect it. And then this will be my first time racing in the Lula, and the preparation is going really well. I've been training hard, training lots, the running's going really well. All of my workouts are going
good. And what about Saudi Arabia besides Alula? Have you done any races, let's say, ultra distance in Saudi Arabia precisely?
No, I have not. I've never been to Saudi Arabia. My dad actually, he lived there when he was from when he was about 12 till about 16. So he spent some of his childhood there. So he always like talks about it and stuff. So I've got a bit of a connection, I guess, through him. And so it'll be interesting to see the country.
Yes, and absolutely. And things have definitely changed in Saudi Arabia in a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. Ryan, before you attended the Lever World Championship, which you smashed, by the way, I did remember seeing a post on Instagram where you actually mentioned about a single hand pull up. And that is what you use as a baseline to gauge your performance. Are you still doing that at the moment?
Yeah, I still do that.
And you also, on your Instagram, you've also mentioned about OTS, that is overtraining syndrome. So can you tell our listeners what that is? Because I'm pretty much sure a lot of the athletes, in particular in obstacle course race, and I tend to watch a lot of UFC and wrestling as well, they face exactly the similar thing as well.
Overtraining syndrome is, basically you're just training more than you're allowing your body to recover. And so normally, like when you train, you kind of beat your body down. And then when you recover in a perfect world, you remove that stress and then your body adapts to it. So overtraining or overreaching is basically not giving yourself the time to adapt to the recovery. And so you just keep kind of beating your body down. And it's, I guess it's a really hard thing for athletes to deal with, because a lot of times in order to, like, you know, as you become a better athlete or as you become more highly trained, you have to add more stress to your body in order to see positive gains. So then you keep adding more stress and more stress in the hopes of having a positive gain, and then eventually it's just more than you can handle. So yeah, that's what overtraining syndrome is. And yeah, I've dealt with it in the past, and I think a lot of people probably have. So it's definitely a hard thing for people to recognize and come out the other side of, because I think a lot of athletes are just highly driven people, and we want to improve and we want to see improvements from ourselves. So it's kind of like, I think we're taught from a young age that if you do a little bit and you get this result, then you do more and you get that result and you do more. Yeah. And eventually, I guess with any organic fixed system, there's a limit to that. And so it's bumping up against a limit. That's the hard lesson.
And are there any signs you can tell in advance, let's say a few hours before, a few days before, that you're just heading towards OTS? Are there certain signs that you can think of?
I think the signs are, it's somewhat personal. I think different people have different signs. Usually a pretty universal sign is, like, if you're more irritable than normal, or you're having trouble with motivation with your workouts, or things like that, then it can be a sign that you're kind of heading towards that way. Also things like if you're getting sore and you're, like, soreness is lasting longer than normal, or you're just not recovering from your workouts, those are also signs.
Yeah. And Ryan, I'm pretty much sure that you do a lot of analysis. Now, keeping OTS in mind, can you also tell that when is it that you're achieving peak performance? Are there certain metrics that you personally look at?
Yeah, definitely. For me, it's kind of like my running paces at certain heart rates, and then just overall kind of how, yeah, my times in my workouts and my average, my running pace for a given heart rate and a given effort level will correlate to, like, that better performance. And same thing with running uphill, which you measure with, like, VAM. So, like, I know when I'm in good shape, when my, like, VAM is at a certain number.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you also wear something on your wrist to do some analysis post-running, isn't it? On your arm, I'm sorry.
Yeah, just a heart rate strap.
Heart rate strap. And am I right in saying, Ryan, let's see, in obstacle course race, is sandbag carry the one that boosts your heart rate to the maximum level? Am I right in saying that? Or are there different obstacles, you would say?
No, maybe for some people, I find for me, the sandbag carry doesn't really max my heart rate out. I'm trying to think what would, I don't think any obstacle really, like, I try to keep a pretty steady heart rate no matter what obstacle I'm going through, so that the effort level is, like, pretty consistent.
Yeah. And, you know, Ryan, I watched you doing the Hercules horse in Levo, and you literally took less than 7 seconds to be precise, and everyone were wondering, what is he doing? And, you know, you absolutely smashed Leva as well. So I wanted to ask you a question regarding Spartan World Championship. Mm-hmm. You've done Leva and you've done Al Wadbar twice. How do both of these races compare according to you?
I like Leva more. I like the big sand dunes. I found it more kind of more wilderness, more kind of out there, which I really enjoyed. Al Wadbar was good. There's more, the sand dunes are a lot smaller there, and the festival area is definitely a lot nicer in Al Wadbar. It's kind of a nice ambiance and kind of feel in the festival area, so that's a positive. And it's also nice that it's so close to Abu Dhabi, instead of being way out in the middle of nowhere. But as far as the actual course goes, I think I preferred Leva.
Except the camping experience, I hope.
Except the camping experience, yeah.
And the good thing about Al Wadbar is post-race, you can have a couple of pints as well to chill.
Yeah, you can have some pints and you can hang out. Yeah, it's good.
Now, you know, after doing the event in Lever, I think you had an event in Umm Al Quwain that is with Block 20, right? That was with Nox Coach. So can you
Yeah.
tell our listeners, you know, some of the guys from UAE definitely attended that. So can you tell our listeners, you know, what is it that you can expect from that? And are you still doing that with Nox Coach at the moment?
Yeah, so the master classes that we do, they're kind of on a one-off basis. So the owners of Block 20, they wanted us to come there and do a master class, so we agreed to it because we were already in the area. And I think if somebody wants to like host one, they can always like reach out to myself or my partner Graham and set something up. But yeah, it was really great. We basically it's like a 3-hour session, and we start with like a little a mini race, and then we talk about some of the mental strategies and like preparing for races. We talk about some of the physical strategies for training for races, and then we go through individual obstacles, techniques, how to get through them more quickly and efficiently. And basically it's just trying to elevate people so that they're, you know, yeah.
And I interviewed some of them, you know, who did actually attend that session. And
Oh,
the
cool.
first thing that they said was, you know, besides them being amazing athletes and the greatest of all time, they're absolutely humble human beings. And that is both for you as well as Lindsay Webster. And that is what
Thank
makes you guys
you.
special.
Thank you.
And you know, I wanted to ask you one question and something which you talked about before getting live on this podcast. On Spartan Games, Ryan, there was this moment where, you know, you kind of missed one of the obstacles by a few seconds. So, you know, what was going on in your mind at that point of time? I think it was the bike, I think, stationary bike, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think what happened there was the anyways, there's a technical malfunction with the bike and it wasn't set up properly, and I ended up, I think, yeah, missing it by a couple seconds. And I don't know. I feel like I was just frustrated because it seemed like something that was outside of my control and something that kind of like happened to me in a way, if you understand. But I think that I quickly kind of reframed that, and like I guess in sport that kind of thing happens, and it's not really anyone's fault per se, so just have to move on, I guess.
Yeah, and regarding, you know, Ryan, the point that you mentioned regarding reframe, what I did is, you know, that video is on YouTube, and I showed my brother, who does not do obstacle course race, he doesn't even know what obstacle course race is. And I told him, look at this video and look at Ryan's reaction. And immediately he said, this guy resembles Sachin Tendulkar. Now, Sachin Tendulkar in India is one of the greatest of all time. He's a cricketer. It is a bit of a
Okay.
boring sport. But when you talk about his personality, there was a similar instance that happened on at an international level. And his reaction was exactly the same as what yours is. Reframe, get back to what it is, and you won. And so did he as well. So, you know, and this is one of the reasons why a lot of them, you know, in Middle East also consider you as the greatest of all time, not necessarily, or rather only because of obstacle course race, but the way you carry yourself as well. So, you know, definitely I'll go ahead and send across that video clip so you get an understanding of what I'm talking about. Now, Ryan, I
Okay.
was also listening to one of your episodes with the Single Track Podcast. And you mentioned three pillars that where you gauge your running, that is running economy, aerobic fitness, and technical skills. Has that pillars changed, or do you still continue to use those pillars?
Yeah, I still use those pillars to kind of, yeah, I think those are the three most important things for our running.
Excellent. And Ryan, at Tough Mudder Infinity, some of the goats like you, Lindsay Webster, even John Albin, even Mark Batters is going to be there. So, how do you think the event at Tough Mudder Infinity is going to play out?
I do not know how it's going to play out. I don't have a crystal ball. I just know that I've done all that I can to prepare, and I think I'm going to race, you know, one of my best races ever. So I'm hoping that there's some good competition and that everyone else is healthy and strong and able to put up a good fight.
Absolutely. And I spoke to the event organizers. They are a bunch of really lovely people. And they're also focusing on the experience, especially for international athletes. You know, Duncan Dewis is one of the managing director. And they have asked three questions that they want me to ask you, John Albin. And I'll be interviewing BJ Jones tomorrow as well. So let me go ahead and ask the first question. And this is by them. So the first question is, how do you, Ryan Atkins, feel about the prize money that is announced at Tough Mudder Infinity at Alula?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of money. I think that it would be pretty awesome to win that amount of money. I think that also what the money represents, I think, is more important to me. Just like for them to put up that much money, it means that everybody is taking it seriously and that there's going to be, you know, a very high level of competition. And so that's kind of what I want. I want people to be motivated and I want people to be trained hard for this event and not just showing up kind of on a whim. So I think that's what the money means to me.
Yeah, and they have team competition and they have two-person team as well. Now, the second question that they want me to ask you is, would you support our series in the Middle East with a multiple high prize pot events? Because I spoke to them and they might be planning to have, let's see, you know, 24-hour Tough Mudder, World's Toughest Mudder over there as well, or maybe in the UAE.
Oh, that would be cool. Yeah.
I think that'd be awesome. Yeah. And final question, what they want to ask is, what would you like to see the organizers focus on to uplift obstacle course race generally, regionally and internationally as well?
I would like to see them focus on having a fair course that's well run and that doesn't have any big logistical errors. A lot of times events that are put on of this magnitude, it's really easy for event organizers to overlook a few small details that end up being really important. And that can be really frustrating as an athlete. So I think having like a quote unquote perfect event or as perfect as possible would be really what I would want to see. And then I also think that I would like to see an event that has obstacles that are really challenging to the athletes with penalties that reflect the challenge. I think that if someone fails an obstacle, the penalty should last at least, you know, 2 minutes, and it should be fairly consequential instead of just like having really easy obstacles or penalties that only take 10 seconds.
Yeah, and now that is definitely brilliant advice. Now, Ryan, regarding Spartan Race focusing on shorter distances, you've completely been vocal about it. What advice, let's see, you'd like to give to Joe Cena or other event directors who are rather focusing on shorter distances?
I think that Spartan has always been a challenge. It's always been something that has been put out there to try to get the most out of people and try to push them outside of their comfort zones. And I think that longer, more arduous events are better at doing that. And that's kind of what drew me into the sport. It was like longer events, things that I used to always say that I really enjoyed it when I had to like kind of have these really hard moments in races, whether it was like from a really heavy double sandbag or a really brutal long uphill or something like that. And I think that Spartan has gotten further and further away from that. Now it's just running on flat ground with easy obstacles and just whoever can like go through monkey bars the fastest does the best. So I think that Spartan has really kind of sold out what they started doing and what they believed in when they started. It was about challenging the athletes and about kind of pushing people, you know, past their limits. And now Spartan just kind of does exactly whatever they think will be the most profitable thing. And so I think that is a really bad strategy because a lot of people come and they do an event and they realize it's not that hard and then they just stop. Whereas before, when the events were more challenging, people would come and they would do something and they would maybe fail at something or they would have a really difficult time and then they would go home and they would train and they would sign up for another event and they would recruit their friends and maybe they'd join a gym and things like that. And they would kind of make it part of their lifestyle and they would kind of get really into it. So I think that by making the events easier, they're increasing the number of people who want to do one event, but they're decreasing the number of people who want to do multiple events. And that's kind of, I think, becoming more evident now as they're like struggling to find the numbers.
And Spartan Race recently just had an event, I think it was at SoCal. And one of the guys, you know, who has done 367 Spartan race, he was a bit upset because he found that to be the most easiest Spartan race of all time. And he's almost 57, 58 years old. And he was also a bit upset, you know, of what is going on. Now, regarding Tough Mudder Run, I think somewhere between before the COVID-19 era, you also were quite vocal about, you know, Tough Mudder having a lot of so-called influencers who are not physically fit. And they were trying to promote Tough Mudder in Florida. And I kind of, you know, put a heart emoji to that and 100% agree to that. So to Tough Mudder, what steps is it that they can take in order to, you know, keep it relevant to fitness influencers, let's say like you, or maybe John Albin or E.J. Jones or anyone else?
I think what they're doing with, like, you know, with this event or with World's Toughest Mudder is kind of like the right move. I think that Tough Mudder has found their identity now, and now they're like sticking with it. So I think that having the events as non-competitive events for most of them is a good way to do it, and just kind of uplifting people, having it as more of a fun run, kind of a, you know, good time, and then having a few events like the Infinities or the World's Toughest Mudder as the competitive side of things, and their kind of marquee events. I think that's a good way of doing it, as long as they continue to delineate the fact that one is just like, you know, a good time with friends and one is like a serious competition.
Yeah. And you are an advocate of having elite racers ran separately, let's say, with age group as well, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan, what I wanted to ask is, you know, you've done obstacle course race in Canada, UAE, Saudi Arabia next. Is there a one specific event that stands out for you personally and something which, you know, you definitely remember quite often? And this does not necessarily have to be obstacle course race. It could be, let's say, trail running or endurance event as well. Or even Spartan Games for that matter.
Yeah, I don't know. I've done a lot of different events and a lot of incredible events. One of my favorite events would have been, or is, the Meet the Minotaur Sky Race. And that's in Alberta, Canada. That's an amazing race. I really like the Vermont Killington Beast World Championships I did there in 2014. That was an amazing course. I'm planning on racing the Ultra Beast World Championships in France. I think it's in Morzine this year.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that. I think that'll be on top of my list once I do that event. I've heard a lot of good things.
That'll be absolutely wicked. And the organizers, you know, from Cap Sports, they're planning to do something similar in Dubai as well, which is different to World's Toughest Mudder.
Okay.
So, you know, so we'll definitely go ahead and keep you updated on that.
Cool.
And I did actually on, you know, via Instagram mention to you about Al Marmoon Race, which is, you know, a last man standing event in Dubai.
Right.
Which is kind of like in the desert, but it is just not obstacle course race. It is just a flat terrain running in the sands. So, you know, I'll definitely go ahead and keep you updated on that.
All right.
Now, what I wanted to find and ask you is, Ryan, you know, you've been in Abu Dhabi 3 times. What has yours and Lindsay's experience been from a cultural point of view? And were people welcoming? And how was the overall experience been with you guys?
Well, the first time we went, our experience was not as great. I think that the experience in Liwa with the tents and with the cars and not knowing how to get around or how anything worked, that was quite, it was just, you know, we didn't know what was happening and we didn't know how to navigate those situations. But then the next 2 times, so when we came to Al-Wafa, both times we flew into Dubai and spent some time there before and after the race, and we kind of just knew how things worked a little better and where to go and what to do, and so it was a much better experience. And we found the culture very interesting. It's very different from anything that we're used to. I mean, the landscape and the culture, it's like being in a whole different world. But yeah, the people are really nice and we love the food there. Nothing to complain about.
Yeah, and about Dubai, I think Lindsay Webster did visit Dubai for the Gal Games as well, right?
Yeah.
What was the feedback did you get from her? And are there any possibilities for you to participate in Gal Games?
Yeah, we were talking. I almost ended up doing it this year, but it didn't end up happening. So maybe one year that'll be a possibility. But yeah, she really enjoyed the experience at Gov Games, and I think she wants to do it again.
And Ryan, you're one of the OGs in the game, and you're competing at a really high level. What I wanted to ask is, we've noticed second generation of athletes competing right now. So Hobie Call has been running with you. Now his son will also be running, has rather run with you as well. How does it feel to, see second generation of athletes competing with you, not necessarily posing a threat yet, but how does it feel to have see the second generation of athletes competing alongside with you?
Oh, I think it's great. I think it's great that there's just talented athletes who want to come and do the sport, no matter what age they are. So it's wonderful that there's an interest in the sport and that people are coming out and trying it and learning the sport.
Yeah. And Ryan, what I wanted to ask is, you've competed in UAE and you've seen a lot of UAE athletes as well. What is it that the UAE or the MENA region, including Saudi Arabia, can do to provide world-class athletes, let's say like yourself, or maybe some female athletes like Lindsay Webster? What is it that we can do, or the government can do, or the people can do?
To, what do you mean? What can they do to make our experience better or what?
No, to create world-class athletes like you.
Oh, to create world-class athletes. I think that just having more events, different kinds of events, and having like training facilities that are, high-end can go a long way. And then just having, yeah, I mean, I think it just takes time. It takes people who are motivated and people who are passionate and who want to kind of grow the sport and who want to perform at the highest level. It takes like a few of those people, I guess, to push it. So you just finding those people and who are, passionate and talented and excited about it.
Yeah, and Ryan, in one of the WhatsApp group that I'm in Dubai, and there are a couple of OCR athletes as well, and I asked them, are there a couple of questions you want me to ask them? And one of them actually did ask, if let's say there was an 8-hour infinity event that you were to do, after that, let's say for a given chance, you could have the opportunity to compete in a team event, would you do that? And I was like, yeah, sure you would do that. But what would you say to that?
If I would do a team event?
After the 8-hour infinity event, back to back.
Oh, like back to back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess so. I
And who would your partner be?
don't know. It would be fun to do it with Mark Batras, I think.
Yeah. He's absolutely
Yeah.
fast as well, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a great guy.
I did have an interview with him as well, and we did ask quite a lot of questions regarding his training as well. And what he actually said, you don't necessarily have to be the fastest runner to be the world champion. You have to, it's a mixture of all things. And he actually calls it as a cubic puzzle, because you need to work on your strength, you need to work on your running, and quite a lot of other things as well. Now, can you tell us, are there any specific strategy, Ryan, and you can, give out fake information to trick your opponents, that you will be using at the Tough Mudder or Infinity? Or are there any recommendations that you have for athletes who will be competing the Tough Mudder Infinity with you? You can give them wrong advice.
I mean, run fast and do the obstacles well. I mean, that's what it comes down to. There's no real magic formula. It's just who can run fast and not slow down and, keep that pace and keep those that efficiency and the running and the obstacles going for the whole event.
And Ryan, do you watch any other sports, let's say UFC or mixed martial arts?
Not really. I don't really watch many other sports. I maybe watch some videos of like alpinism, because I really enjoy like climbing as well. So that I like to watch videos of like sports that I do, I think.
Because the reason I asked this, GSP, which is George St. Pierre, who is often considered as one of the GOAT in the world of UFC and mixed martial arts. And he also has a similar training regime, and he focuses on the rest period quite a lot. Now, what his training period is, every day you need to have a nap or sleep at least 2 hours before you between your training sessions. So how important, Ryan, do you think is sleep, let's say, for at least the level that you're competing in?
Yeah, I mean, sleep and rest and recovery is just as important as the training. You can't really have good training long term without good recovery. So, I've never been one to take naps, but I do sleep really well. I usually sleep about 9 hours every night and pretty good sleep. So, I've been lucky that I can sleep so well.
Excellent. And Ryan, Spartan Championship is visiting Al Wadba once again, and this would be the third time and maybe one more time. What are your expectations this time? Because I believe this time it is a week before, and the World Championship event is for the beast, isn't it?
Yeah,
What are your expectations?
I mean, I'm guessing the course will probably be pretty similar to what it was this year. So that would be my expectation that it'd be like, yeah, a similar course. And I think it will be a fun event. I'm hoping that they maybe do something that's a little different and throw a bit of a curveball to the athletes, just to keep people guessing.
Unfortunately, we won't have Steve Hammond, who designed the race course last year, and the year before that, I think it was Garfield Griffith. Unfortunately, they are no longer with Spartan Race as well. So hopefully, we'll have some new race directors, going ahead and building that race course. Now, I wanted to ask this question to you personally, Ryan, regarding spear throw. You had a late hate relationship, but the last event was a love relationship, isn't it? So, what is it your expectation regarding the spear throw? Do you want it to continue or do you want it to switch it like the one that they have for the 3K event?
No, I don't like the laser pistol either. I think the laser pistol is just, I don't know why it's in the event. I think it makes no sense. I don't like laser pistol. I think the spear throw, I've always disliked it. I think that it's gotten better. I think the foam targets are a lot better that they use now. They don't have hay that's falling out, and they've done things like that to improve it. But for instance, Lindsay got to the spear throw and her spear was stuck and she couldn't pull it up in her race. So there's always something like that that goes, or there's often something like that that goes wrong with it. It's just a very inconsistent obstacle, and I don't think it's, I don't know. But if they're going to keep it, then that's fine with me.
It is what it is, I guess,
It
isn't
is what it is, yeah.
it? Now, lately, Ryan, there's a lot of hybrid events coming up. That is like Dakar, you have HYROX as well. And Matt Davis from Obstacle Course Race Media, he actually posted via LinkedIn the top 10 athletes, who are in the, as per his ranking, they were the top 10 athletes. And I actually replied via his LinkedIn post, what about Ryan Atkins? And he actually replied stating that if Ryan Atkins does HYROX, he's going to smash it. But he has spoken to you, but you prefer an outdoor event, isn't it?
Yeah, I prefer being outside, and honestly, I think that there's so many other things that I could be doing, like mountain biking or running in the mountains or climbing, things that I guess inspire me a lot more than running around in a gym. I'll probably do a HYROX. There's one coming to Canada this year, so I might do that
Okay.
one, but we'll see.
In Dubai, recently the turnout for, the HYROX has been absolutely massive. There are well over 4,000 to 6,000 people turning in. And again, maybe this goes back to, from the business point of view. Maybe they want a lot of people to get in. And that's one of the reasons what they're focusing on. And now what I wanted to ask next is, Ryan, regarding Barkley Marathon, what is the possibility for you and Lindsay Webster or your Lindsay Webster to be part of Barkley Marathon?
Yeah, I applied to it several years ago and I didn't get in, and I think that it would still be a cool event to do, but for me, it's just not. To me, if I'm gonna run around and spend that much energy, there's a lot of other like trails and courses that would be a lot more inspiring to me than the Barkley Marathon course. So there's a lot of cool like mountain link ups or things like that that you could do for 60 hours. That would be, just incredible experiences. And I think that Barkley is a little bit contrived, but it could be cool.
Now, regarding obstacle course race in Dubai, prior to the whole pandemic situation, we used to have Desert Warrior Challenge, which was somewhat similar to what, let's say, Savage Race is. but they had longer distance format as well. But that team has relocated to Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
And, you know, I've been talking to that team, not now, probably in the next year or so. They're definitely going to have Desert Warrior Challenge as well. And I definitely do think you would absolutely like it because the obstacles are definitely much tougher, probably tougher than Spartan Race as well. So, you know, if we do find out anything, cool. I'll definitely go ahead and let you and Lindsay get updated on that. Now, Ryan, we are towards the end of this podcast. I have a few fun-related questions. Now, the first question is regarding BMR. If there was a BMR, who would you run against with?
Who would I run against it?
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun to do a beer mile with Hunter McIntyre.
Oh, wicked, yeah. I asked Steve Hammond this question, and he took your name.
Nice.
And favorite genre of music. Now, I know that you're into rap music because I did listen to Teeny Tiny Bit at the intro of one of the podcast of Skid Coast Race Media. But what is your favorite genre of music?
Oh, man. I like all genres. I like, well, the only genre I don't really like is country, but every other genre I really enjoy.
And Ryan, finally, as we wrap it up, is there anything you'd like to tell our audience regarding your journey or any upcoming races or any events other than Tough Mudder Infinity that you're excited about?
Tell our audience about my journey? Or
anything that you'd like to tell them. Oh, absolutely anything.
I would just say to people that to really focus on just finding the enjoyment out of the small things in their training and in their fitness journey, and to not worry so much about setbacks, because I think that if anybody is on this journey to becoming, you know, a fitter, healthier human being, that you're already like so far ahead of the rest of the population. So enjoy it and have fun.
That is an absolute, excellent way of ending this podcast. Now, Ryan, you also have a quote that I read in Authority Magazine, which actually states that if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. Now, keeping that thing in mind, how do you want the obstacle course race community to remember you as?
I don't think that I really need to be remembered. I think that if people just can, like, if anyone thinks about me, that if they just say that Ryan did the events that he loved and, you know, always showed up and gave his all, that's all I could ask for.
That's absolutely wicked, Ron. Thank you so much, Ron, for doing this session. Really, really appreciate it, Ron.